It is officially opening day for the Marlins, Pirates, and rest of baseball. 4-10 start down in Miami. Paul Skeens versus Sandy Alcantara. And then everything else they've got going on. A lot of fun stuff going to be happening down there. And we'll be there tonight with my family as well. Dave Hyde's going to be working tonight.
I'll be working.
You will be working. You were there yesterday.
I went out and talked to Clayton McCullough, the new Marlins manager, and Sandy Alcantara talked about opening day and this season, et cetera. And then
that's a tough one, man.
It's a tough column to write because
it would be easy just to trash the whole thing.
And look, I was there when Jim Leland held up a lineup card in 1998, August, I'm guessing, because all their players have been traded by them. He held up the lineup card and said, "This is the worst lineup card I've ever written in the major leagues."
He said that.
He said, and I mean, this was not for publication at the time, but I think the statute of limitations has run out on it. And I'm looking at this lineup that Clayton McCullough's going to have to write, and this will be the worst team the Marlins have. This will be the worst Marlins season as a record, I think. Yeah. Now, you fold that into what they're trying to do and the latest rebuild, et cetera, and the Alcantara trade when it happens might be tomorrow, might be after start two. We're going to do this all spring until he's traded. But that has to be a huge building block to where they're
going.
It is, but
it's just so weird. You're talking about your best player, and before his surgery, one of the two or three best pitchers in baseball, and he knows he's not going to be here. He knows the better he pitches, there's a shortage. There's teams already trying to make deals before this thing.
Well, the Yankees lost their top. I mean, they need somebody. And if you're him,
everybody's looking
if
for
you're
starting
him,
pitching.
You want to be out of here, right? As much and look, listen.
You're saying everybody wants run support.
Everybody wants to win, right?
Yeah.
At the prime of your careers, and the thing going for him, and going for the Marlins, not only his talent, not only his attitude. His contract.
Very friendly.
Oh, my goodness. They should get a haul for him.
Yeah. Well, that's – but we do need some of these guys that played a little bit last year. I know some of the guys are hurt right now. They're a little banged up coming into the opener here. But some of these guys got to work out. Some of these guys, as they get the chance to play every day, there's got to be – we got to see improvement where you're going, wow. We got our guy. And now I know what people say back. Yeah, great. So when he's really good, they're going to get rid of that guy and bring in more guys.
Well, that's how it works in baseball. That's
well,
exactly how it works
at Tampa Bay and here to your point.
to the bottom five teams, it works that way. Now, can the Marlins ever get out of that? Will they ever be anything than a minor league feeder for the bigger teams?
It's this whole thing is going to be weird. So anyway, if you're going out tonight, it's the opener. It's fun. It's always been great. I was thinking back when I was 10 years old. I don't know why. And I think Kim Bocamper's coming in. And Bo grew up in a different part of Northern California than I did. But we had in common as soon as I met him. He goes, "Are you a Giants fan?" I go, "Yeah." I said, "I went to school right next to Oakland and never went to the Coliseum. I drive across the bay to go watch San Francisco Giants because that's what I grew up with. There ain't no Oakland A's.
You didn't
or
grow up
Oakland
with the
Raiders.
Oakland A's? No.
No, where I was from, I'll bet my town was 90% San Francisco. Giants, 49ers. The only thing we shared with everybody is you had one basketball team for the whole Bay Area, Golden State. But so that's kind of a big deal. And then, you know, I was like, wow, I remember Juan Marichal, Willie Mays. I grew up during this, you know, they have all this stuff. And I grew up with Willie and Willie, man. I caught Willie towards the end of his career, but I caught Willie McCovey in his prime and then Juan Marichal. And then, you know, you just go, you probably, don't you remember? Like,
oh, sure. I grew up with the Big Red Machine. People ask me to this day, oh, you know, hey, what's your favorite team? It's Big Red Machine. Oh, you're a Reds fan? No, I'm not a Reds fan. That team was my favorite team. And you know, I don't root for the Reds. I left Ohio, and like you, I don't know why, but I just quit following the Big Red Machine. For me, growing up at my age of 10, 11, 12,
yeah,
that was it. That was it. And opening day was a huge – Al Michaels was play-by-play guy for the Reds growing up for a couple years for me.
Yeah.
And first time I met Al Michaels, he was doing Monday Night Football. You know, he's at the prime of his stuff, and I was doing – radio TV guy for the Herald at the time. So I went and met him at a Coconut Grove and talking to him. And at the end of the interview, I said, Al, I just got to ask you, why do you leave the Reds? You know?
Why?
That was a fan in me saying, how could you leave the Reds?
You leave that thing. That was just great. And the other side of that is, I mean, I went to school during a time when the Oakland A's were like who's who of baseball before they all hit the – that free agency thing, and they're all disappearing, and Charlie Finley was the owner, known as the worst owner in sports.
We had Reggie Jackson and
Sal Bando,
Joe Rudy.
Oh no, you just had Bert Campy Campanaris, and the Giants weren't nearly as good. And you, now I got to go across the bay. Got to stay with my guys over there. Let me see how Jim Ray Hart's doing. All right, so anyway, that's what I always kind of go back to on all these things. So we had mentioned this before. After this weekend, matter of fact, I'm guessing some of the Dolphins brass will be heading up north a little bit here, an hour up the road, where the owners are going to be getting together, and we'll get ready for changes. The NFL Competition Committee, I wanted to talk to you about this. I haven't brought it up yet. I think the biggest thing for them is a kickoff return. Bigger than any of these other tush-push, Eagles. People are mad that they can do it. Nobody else can in the Bills. But I think the kickoff return. So now they go, we got the answer. The NFL Competition Committee has said, we got the answer. They kick it out of the back of the end zone for a touchback. We're going to put it on the 35. We're going to keep giving people better and better field position. Or now you get one long first down or two. You can kick a field goal at the worst. So they believe that if they do that, touchbacks will now go to the 35. You know, the 40 used to be punishment, right? Kick it out of bounds. That's that 40-yard line. Now you're getting the ball damn near, you know.
Well, last year was at the 30. Last year was at the – you get it to the 30. So the 35 would be a big change.
So you move it, and they believe after all the research that 60 to 70% will be returned this year off that number. Because you're putting your, especially if your defense is struggling, you don't want to put them on a shorter field and make it easier for them to get points. So they think that one thing, and it's going to get approved. I can't imagine it doesn't get. So if you kick it out of the end zone, which a lot of people do, or you're not, you know, feel great about your coverage like we haven't for years around here. We've had a few return during the years around this thing. Just have Jason Sanders rip it out of the back of the end zone. Well, now you're going to pay a little bit more of a price at the 35.
The average return, I believe, was like 28-yard line plus.
28, 29,
so,
right.
So what you'll have is teams kicking between the 5 and the goal line. I mean, that's what they'll condition the kickers to do.
Kick it high.
Yeah.
And keep it just inside the end zone. Or outside the end zone, excuse me. And make them return it. And we got to go down there. There were some great collisions, by the way. That's a myth that, like, all of a sudden, that thing, they can talk about, and it's about concussions. This play gives more concussions than any other play, and it cut back. But if they think you got a couple guys whiff on that thing, you literally are running. You're on your own, four or five guys coming at you full speed, which is not ideal either.
You wouldn't be just put the ball at the 25-yard line and just dismiss the kickoff. You want that kickoff in
there. I do.
Yeah.
I don't want to just start the game and line up. Offense, you're up.
Yeah.
I just.
That'd be weird, but I mean, they're having to go through so many calibrations of the kickoff. Is it really worth all this stuff? And I wait till Mike Westhoff comes in here and starts yelling about it.
Oh,
right?
Mike's already. We had Mike on a couple weeks ago, and he was already fired up. Said they don't know. He didn't like what was going on and everything. And so they got some other stuff too. They want to put an on-site replay official and put more on his plate, And if you throw a flag on defenseless players, face mask, horse collar, roughing the kicker, those things, and they want to be able to go, if you throw the flag.
It's only throwing the flag.
It's
not if a ref misses a call that you can come back and say that should have been a penalty. It's only if they throw the flag. You could take it away.
But they don't want to take away from, they still want the officials to officiate the game. They don't want to do it. But you know everybody's going to say now, well, wait a second. Why can't you do it both ways? I know that's Mike Florio's going to say. Mike Florio's going to go, well, you got it one way. Why wouldn't you do it the other way? If you miss the call,
we know the
go
reason.
Back
in. Because it'll add time. It's going to add so much time to
and the league. The league's reviews and it's everything they still do takes for all the technology and the amount of actual time doing these games. Dave, and you sit at the games. Sometimes things just take way too long. And I know we got timeouts. We got to get the 2 minutes of commercials in or 2.5 minutes of commercials in. But sometimes
what I would like is get rid of the sideline monitor. Have a this guy who he could do it a lot just quicker up in a booth. Say nope, that call's overturned.
Totally agree.
You know that'd be a minute. Just the ref running
over there
and getting the headset and putting it on. So I mean,
by the way, I don't expect every call to be perfect. That's the other thing. Like it never has. Football's done just fine. It gets more popular. Like, I don't need every – and we got people – and Belichick was one of them. Like, why can't we just challenge everything and try to get everything right? Perfect. Because we'll be playing for 4.5 hours. That's why.
Well, your guy Shula – Shula was one of those, too. He wanted – why should people at home be getting the correct call and we don't get the correct call on the field? So, I mean, I get it, but what do you mean you don't want the calls perfect? I want them – I want
because there's always calls that we come back in here on a Monday morning, Dave. We do this every week, and you go, they shouldn't have called. And I go, yes, he did. He had to call it. And then, oh, we got screwed. No, we didn't get screwed. That was the right call.
But the idea should be to try to get all the calls right, right?
You want to try to get past, you want to get jump into pass interference or whether it's holding or not and who's holding? Do you want to get into that?
What about Detroit's rule? They're proposing defensive holding on the pass interference should not be a first down. Now, they led the league in defense holding, so
it's
self-serving, but should that be a first down?
No.
I agree with them.
I hate when you're 3rd and 20 and you hit a guy for illegal contact and it's automatic first down.
Completely agree.
5 yards.
Yep.
I hate it. I really dislike it. But again, I don't want to change the whole frigging game. I don't want to go up to Palm Beach and like 19 new changes between what teams have put in front of them as well as the NFL competition committee, which and there will be changes. Game's okay. By the way, I thought the other one that was going to be brought up is this protection of quarterback, especially when they decide they want to get in the business of manipulation and late slides and little acting going out of bounds on the sideline, and we protect them to a healthy.
That's the one that I think should be proposed. You cannot fake slide. That should be a 15-yard penalty. If you fake slide, like
Josh Allen did that a couple years and kept running.
Patrick Mahomes
does
it.
People let up on it.
Yeah, absolutely. That should be taken out because that's not.
How about Patrick Mahomes going down the sideline and barely gets touched and goes flying out of bounds and he goes,
you can't throw. I mean, I guess you can, but I don't know.
If you're running to the sideline, get out of bounds. I mean, everything's for the offense. Everything's for the quarterbacks. If you run down,
if you run down the sidelines, you can be popped.
So you do a last second slide to get every yard you can, and hoping you do get hit to add more. You know, you don't want to get knocked out, but guy starts to launch at you, and they call it. And I'm going, wait a sec, slide earlier. If you got the first down, slide. I don't know. See that.
Well, here the other part of that equation is Josh Allen is now making $300 million. You don't think they're going to protect those guys even more as much as they can because they don't want $60 million sitting on the sideline.
So you know what they did actually really well? The NFL, when they all got together, they said, great job. A ton of the top record amount of quarterbacks played every game.
Yeah.
Except at the end of the year, a couple of them rested because they couldn't move up in the playoffs. they got a lot of 16 and 17 games out of starting quarterbacks who are getting paid all the money, except one guy. I know. I know our guy didn't get on that list, but he's about the only one. Not too many teams
this
lost
is an
their quarterback.
Era.
We
this
had guys
is...
get benched for poor play, including a guy in Atlanta, different deal, but guys who stayed healthy, except our guy. And he missed a lot of games. Culture, again, I go, man, it's amazing how many people, when you go different places, going, oh, culture. Like, dude, why do you guys think you own culture? Like
Cause
Kansas
they won.
City
Cause
could
they
say.
Won. That's why. For 2 decades.
They have done
they
a lot of winning.
They went to 7 NBA finals, a couple more Eastern Conference Finals, and
yeah,
they won. Just
that's
like
right.
Why it was Patriots' way a term, because the Patriots won, right? And they had their way of doing things, right? Just like the Patriots, the Heat did too, and the Heat still does. And
so they have their way, but this is the first time I feel a crack in it, because people, instead of the hard work they do in the off season, the development of players. Listen, I don't know what goes on in other NBA teams, but we talk about body fat and weight before the year, and he doesn't just – guys are over. They're working out in another gym. They don't even get to work with the team. They got to go work out with their own trainers and get their body fat down and get under a certain weight before they can get back in, and then you're in the doghouse. We've had some guys that were in the friggin' doghouse for a while because they came in 5-6 pounds over.
Shouldn't that be the way it is, though, Joe? I mean, seriously, these are pro athletes making big money, and it's a club to get into. Shouldn't there be a standard of you're 5 pounds over? Why are you 5 pounds over? I the way they run things, I agree with. That's why they win. There are standards. You think the Heat would ever put up what the Dolphins did last year of guys being late for meetings?
No.
Constantly?
Never
all
happened.
Season?
Never happened.
Never happened. That's what. That's so. Yeah, I agree completely. That there are standards now. If you want to take shots at him now, now's the time to do it, because Jimmy Butler, they wouldn't give Jimmy the extra $50+ million, and he left, so he's taking shots. LeBron, I don't know why LeBron's taking shots. He got 2 titles here. Went to the finals 4 times. He learned how to win.
He did give him credit for that, Dave, about coming down here 4 years of going to the finals
and
2 championships.
You know, I thought LeBron carried himself as well as anybody could here, considering the spotlight, the target on him. And when he left, I said South Florida should say one thing to LeBron, and that's thanks. Forget all this other stuff, this anger and all that. He was here for 4 years. And he delivered and say thank you. He had to go back to Cleveland. I understood it.
So you know the other crazy thing he hit? I mean, he hit everything yesterday with McAfee. It was really good for an hour and 15 minutes. Whether you like him or not, it was good stuff. He got on the media that now cover the NBA. He didn't do media in general. He did, and they asked him, when did it start? And he said, for me, the decision. I mean, he got in specific times and what people said, and he did. He got only ones that we were excited down here when he decided to join Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. But, God, they were ripping it around the country.
The way that team was covered the first year was ridiculous. I mean, it was 4 years of it. It was like the Beatles. But the first year especially, because of the decision – and then they lost, and I agree with him. That was over the top. Now, one thing I disagree with, Brian Windhorst, who's on ESPN, he came down with him.
That surprised me a little bit, because Brian Windhorst did seem to get a lot of stuff out of his camp. And he said, I don't know where he thinks he's so close to me. I'm not sure where that comes
from. And what I will tell you, when Brian came down, I was kind of curious, because I'm in the business. Here's a guy coming down to cover LeBron, essentially, and he's followed him. And I thought, oh, he's going to be a homer for LeBron. You know, he's going to be a mouthpiece for LeBron. And he wasn't. He was a professional, very good journalist. I respected the way he went about his work and everything like that. So, I don't know where LeBron's coming from off that, other than, look, this guy's followed him around for 20 years, so I get there's – you know, there's probably ups and downs in that relationship, just like there would be in any professional relationship. But but Brian Windhorst does a great job, I think.
Well, he went after him. There was just a lot of different parts of things, but just the media coverage. And he said, "Listen, man, I get it. I don't play well, or you like Michael Jordan more, or you like me. You know, he gets all that stuff. The conversation, he gets it. He's bothered by all the other stuff that now comes with, especially the stuff with his son really bothered.
And as it would any father." But you also putting writers and broadcasters in an uncomfortable position.
Well, he mentioned some former – he didn't say names, but some former players that have – that I don't know how he said it, but it was – and a lot of stuff you couldn't tell because they were cursing. They were F-bombing it and S-bombing it, and they
well, if you say that Lakers took his son in the draft because he's there, is that something to give? That's fact. Right, I mean that's fact, and it was he is he ready for the NBA?
No, he wasn't ready.
Would it be better for him to go somewhere else?
This is the stuff.
Look, this is the stuff we got into. To be honest, with the Shulas, when Don Shula hired Dave as an offensive coordinator and all that stuff,
right.
You know, and it was uncomfortable for everybody. But
yeah, we didn't have the media coverage.
No, but like there was that. Coverage of
yeah.
it, and Don got upset about it. Of anybody who took shots at his son,
that's true.
As any father would. But
once you put him in that situation, though.
But why are we in that? You know, we don't want to be in that situation either of having to discuss nepotism and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, this Pat Riley press conference that's coming up, right, not too far away now, Dave. We've got 10 games left in the regular season, a little play-in basketball. And if you're playing well during the play-in, you get to play either Cleveland or Boston. As a 7 or 8 seed.
Hey, they went to the finals as play-in 1 year. I don't think that's going to happen this year.
No,
though.
That's probably
that's
not.
That's not the blueprint
that's
to go to the finals.
Not going to happen to your point.
So what do you think of the Pat Riley press conference? What you're looking forward to that already, aren't you?
Well, because the questions are all, they're ready. They're not leaving. This Jimmy Butler stuff, he's never talked. We've heard from Jimmy Butler and got a pretty good idea how he feels about Pat Riley and his blame Pat Riley for everything. And I want to hear that stuff, but I also just, I even care about the chocolate chip. Like, Pat, when the hell did you get so petty about?
That's a weird one.
LeBron James.
That's a weird one, yeah.
He's winning MVPs down here and you're getting on him about his cookies?
Yeah.
Like he likes 2 chocolate chip cookies? I mean, it's small, but. It's just
does Pat not like chocolate chip cookies? That's the question. I once asked Pat, "How do you stay so thin?"
You know what he told you? He eats half his food.
No, he told me stress diet. Stress diet.
He never gains weight. I asked him. He goes, "Joe." He goes, "You put on some years ago. You put on some weight on." I go, "Yeah." How do you do it, Pat? Everybody's got a little different take on eat once a day and. Leave the carbs home. You know all the things everybody says. And after you work out at night or work out before you go to bed, it'll burn, get early burn. Yeah, I've heard it all. He said, eat whatever they put on your plate, eat half of it.
I can't do that. Whatever's on my plate,
I'm eating. I'm old school too.
Yeah.
And by the way, leftovers, I'm starting to think about you as soon as I get out of here. Leftovers are not safe. By the way, my kids are not leftover fans. So anything in that refrigerator is a green light.
I'm a leftover fan all the way, especially if it's as
that's when you know how you grew up. If you like leftovers, that tells you all you need to know about how you grow up. I'm dead serious. When there's food in there,
even like cold pasta sitting in there in the fridge, from
hey,
the night
we didn't
before.
Warm stuff up in the old days. Look, hot or cold,
let me just have a little of that, and about 10 forkfuls later.
Yeah, heck yes. All right. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning as the NFL is about ready to have their big owners meeting, the big one. We'll see a lot of changes, a lot of things thrown in front of them. I believe the GMs and head coaches all go up there too. Is that a chance for media to talk?
I do not know. Although I do know media talks. Steve Ross doesn't talk anymore. He used to
none.
Talk. No, I don't. He hasn't. he hasn't in a long while. All right. So,
well, I think everybody'd like to hear from him too.
I certainly would.
We haven't heard since we got that press release right after that Jets game. Everybody'd like to know, you know, besides what was written, give us, you know, your thought and are we close? All those things. Yeah, everybody'd like to know.
How do you feel about spending? How much was it? Hundreds of millions of dollars and
going 8-9.
Going 8-9.
Yeah, all fair questions. All very fair today. I'm doing the not fair, fair. That's fair.
Think about coming in here. I always like to come in when Dave's here because it's always fun because I don't get to see him that often. But he comes in early before I do, so I get relegated to the third headsets.
That, oh yeah. You
know, like
by the way, I'm
now,
sorry about that.
One of us coming in one ear and then it goes to the other. One of the and to be honest with you, when you look at it, I'm wondering. You know, I'm seeing something crawling on it when I put it on my head.
Hey. The story's worse than that because I was just telling Dave, I go, you know, I buy some of these. They're real cheap.
Yeah.
And they all disappear.
Right.
Like, I don't have a locker. I should get the locker and lock it up. Like, I think all day, Dan Day, do you lock your stuff up all day? You do, right? You lock it up because it disappears.
I got so much stuff, man.
Nothing.
Wait a second. We just looked at the refrigerator during the break, and there's a lock in the refrigerator.
That's
so nobody takes the milk.
So the cream for the coffee is...
This is a tough place.
So one of the girls here, I don't want to say her name, another girl goes, she locks her cream. She's tired of everybody stealing her cream, and it's gone.
I've never seen the
nobody
cream locker.
Nobody brings it back. No. So she's got a coffee, cream,
so
a locker.
So which radio station have you been at where that wasn't the case?
No, everybody steals everything.
but look at the floor here. Look at the floor here, Kim. They don't even get a vacuum anymore.
Look,
I vacuumed here a while back.
Joe vacuumed. I was in here a few weeks ago,
so
and
Dave,
Joe was vacuuming.
Dave, when was the last time you were here?
A few weeks ago.
And all those papers right there were sitting the same place they are right now, right? Every one of those things is sitting there right
I think
there.
That's Leroy. Leroy's got this thing, so Leroy won't sign because he thinks everybody's trying
notes,
to make money.
See those
on
notes
his...
on the back of that one envelope?
I think that was my envelope.
No, that was the notes I made like 3 weeks ago.
Nobody comes in here. It is actually except stealing stuff, but everything else is pretty safe. So anyway, we got you just telling us about the experience last night, man. You went to Miami Open.
I did.
I love that friggin' thing.
You know,
man,
it really is nice. I mean, it's a great event. You know, a lot of things to do out there in that court side or whatever they call. Where you can get food and all that stuff. You know, the tacos for $18 were a little bit, you know.
You could go without that.
No, but they were good. They were good. But I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. Like, we all go to a lot of events, you know, and it's usually football, baseball, or basketball. But to go to these different events, hockey, you know, to go to these different events that you really don't go to very often and realize how good they really are. And the way they've set that stadium up, I know when they first
I didn't know what it was going to look like, and it looks.
I remember the players hated it right the first year, and boy they've done a job on that thing where it's really nice.
Well, I was telling you guys I was critical of them leaving Key Biscayne. It was such a beautiful setting.
I think those guys loved
perfect.
It. No question.
And then looking at the attendance, it doubled.
Yeah.
In that setting, and they, you know, walking around, I haven't gotten out there and written a column yet, but it's just from there's a lot going on right now in South Florida right now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's at that time of the year. You got that
racing's right around the corner. You've got baseball starts.
You're starting
up.
Heading into the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs right around the corner.
It is a good time.
So there's a convergence right down here.
It's been a good week. Just think, Cam Ward's show on Monday. Jimmy Butler loses on Tuesday.
That was nice.
That was good to see.
That was good to see.
Well, I'm guessing you liked that a little bit too, watching Jimmy Butler have one field goal in the first half.
Yeah, I did. I did like that. And you know, when he walked out and, you know, didn't, you know.
By the way, that just told you everything.
Yeah.
Nobody shaking his hand.
Not one of his former teammates or coaches went over and gave him
after the game. I'll tell you what, I'm a little perturbed.
Kevin Love said hi.
I'm a little perturbed.
Kevin Love didn't count.
I'm a little perturbed that they did a tribute to him going into the game. Right? Didn't they come? Someone told me they went down.
They did. I was against it.
That would have been a no.
Yeah.
That would have been a no for me.
Dave's I'm with you.
Dave's a little softer.
Well,
so
I'm thinking if they don't do it, then you get half the world saying, "Oh, he took them to two NBA finals and an Eastern Conference final."
Yeah, but
here's the hard part about Jimmy. For 5 years, he delivered as much as any had. But the way he went out, sabotaged the season. Walked out on a 2-year, $112 million contract is just unforgivable.
It is.
He won't take any responsibility for it. Yeah. He had 2 days in town here to say, hey, I could have handled things better, and I'll have a regret about that.
So you got a guy that's making a ton of money. They let him fly by himself. They let him stay by himself. They let him do whatever he wants, and then you're going to turn around and spit on him on the way out. You know, I don't know.
No. And by the way, they've made Pat's taken, a little bit of a hit and now we've had some other people come out and, hey, that's a business decision. And
the problem in the NBA players. Is if you lose your best player, no plan B to save a season. There's no plan B. It isn't like we can make do with the backup quarterback.
No.
You knew once he left that Bam – And Tyler weren't going to be enough to carry this team into the playoffs, right?
That's true.
They just didn't have he was the linchpin of that deal, and so once he leaves, I know the organization didn't go woe is us. They tried to do what they could do, and Spo tried to do what he could do, but you take the best player on your team, the guy that's really really took you to the two. Deep into the playoffs twice.
He was it, Jimmy playoffs. Well, we got a situation now where I if they just play the way they did against Golden State the other night, I don't know if tell me, by the way, they weren't jacked up to play against Butler. Yeah. If you don't think that felt like a playoff game with the way those guys were running around and playing and defending and Bam goes, I got your ass. But, Bo, all I wanted to see is after the game. This is how petty I am.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see if a guy's going to shake his hand and go. And sometimes people let things go, and you'll see guys hug and go, I didn't think you guys liked each other.
Yeah.
Not one guy
after
the game went over to him, and love doesn't count.
That's all you need to know about how the last couple years were like, which certainly this year, but the previous year, too, were with Jimmy, that he rubbed everybody in the organization the wrong way.
But you know what? But that's been his MO everywhere he's been, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Play well, and then once he gets, whatever craw gets stuck up his butt, and now he's going to go out and it's going to be ugly. It's not going to be.
So I don't even think it was about the money.
I don't think it was about the money.
I think it was when he called his ass out and said, shut up when you don't play.
I don't agree at all. Yeah. It was only about the money. If he had said that and they came back and gave him that extra $50 million, you don't think Jimmy would be happy here?
Yeah, but he's saying that wasn't the case.
I don't care what he's saying.
This is in all sports now. You sign a contract. So if you don't want to do that, sign a 1-year contract every year. If you because he was under contract.
2 years.
Two years left.
$112 million.
And then Shaq comes up and goes, I agree with him, which is the most asinine thing.
Shaq's just doing because he did similar stuff.
Well,
because
he did the same thing.
But
Shaq's was weight, though.
That's a character. That's a character. A character flaw to me. I mean, not a flaw because there's always somebody out there that's going to throw that money at him.
Golden State made a decision.
We'll see how that works out for Golden State because if they don't win with Jimmy, they're sunk
that's
for the
true.
Next 3 years with him.
Yeah, and once Jimmy starts, so I wonder if Jimmy's staying at his own hotel or if he's flying by himself.
Oh no, they've said he's got
carte blanche there.
Steve Kerr's pretty flexible.
Yeah, okay.
Steve Kerr's he's real new school too. Hey, we got to go to break. It's 8:00, man. We're running a little bit late. Kim Bocamper and Dave Hyde in with us this morning. Got a lot of things to get to. Won't take much to get these guys going. Trust me.